Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the power of God. And of course, the power of God is where our confidence, our boldness, our assurance. Only when we have confidence in God's power can we do what David did before Goliath, or could we do what the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, did when they came out of the land of Canaan. There is no question that our sense of God's empowerment in our life will have a tremendous impact. In Ephesians chapter 3, we are told that his power that works in us is exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And of course, there's the conundrum. There's the interesting circumstance. What do we ask or think? What is our threshold of God's power? And so, in our first lesson, we talked about electricity and what electricity has done in our life and the confidence that we have when we turn on a switch that it's going to bring light. When we push a button on the stove, we're going to cook dinner. And that confidence, 99 times or more out of 100, is perfectly fulfilled. But do we have that same feeling toward God? When we pray, do we feel that God has heard our prayers? As we read the scriptures, do we feel the power? Paul said it's the power of God unto salvation. Then in our lesson last week, we talked about a battery. We talked about how a battery charges and empowers the car to start. It runs all of our accessories. And the way it is set up, once again, we have great confidence. When we sit in that car, in that driver's seat, we expect the car to start. We don't sit there gingerly wondering. And yet, that's how many people are in their prayers. That's how many people are. How else could we explain that when Goliath made that challenge to the children of Israel, they all cowered in fear, except for David. David had a confidence that God would put Goliath in his hands, and so he could stand before him with a sling and a few small stones as his only weapon. And really, it wasn't a weapon. He knew. He had confidence in God. And those of us with that confidence, as we sing in the song, "Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go," and we're never afraid. In our lesson this morning, we want to talk about the material creation. We want to talk about the fact that God's eternal power and divinity is clearly seen through the things that are made. And I wanted to start this morning. I don't know if we have the lights on or not here. Yes, we do. I wanted to start this morning. That's an image of the sun. And of course, the purpose for putting that up there is for us to think about this. Every second, 600 million tons. That's 12 billion tons, or excuse me, 12 billion pounds is burned every second. So, 12 billion tons, or 12 billion pounds, 12 billion pounds, 12 billion pounds. Think of the power. The temperature on the sun is estimated to be about 10,000 degrees. Now, I thought about that the other day, because not only do we have the sun doing this, but we have billions and billions of stars, and most of the stars, I read some information this morning, most of the stars are the same size as the sun. Some are a lot bigger, some are smaller. But we have billions and billions, and we don't even know how many. God said this, "Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore." Now, I don't know that anybody's ever counted how many grains of sand would be in a cubic foot of sand. But then you take all the sand all over the world, and God says, the stars and the sand and your descendants are going to be similar. So how much energy is being generated every second by all of these stars, and yet God was able to bring them into existence in a very short period of time. That's power. But that's nothing, because there's so many other things that also illustrate God's power. And so again, as we look at our sun compared to the earth, and you see the earth is just this tiny little thing here, and there's the sun. And God spoke that into existence along with all of these stars, that if we could just get out of our atmosphere and we could just look at how many stars are out there and think about the fact that if our star is putting out 12 billion pounds per second, how many billions and trillions? And I mean, where can we go with that? How much power does God have to be able to create the sun, the moon, and the stars with all of the power that is being exerted? And yet, how often do we even think about that? That's power. When Paul says God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, we need to stop and think about what are we asking or thinking? Because God's power may be limited. There was a book came out a few years ago, Your God is Too Small. Because we can't grasp how much power he actually has. But Paul says the power that works in us is exceedingly abundantly above all of the power in all of the sun, the moon, and the stars. But that's not going to help us very much. Because these lights in the firmament, the greater light the sun, the lesser light the moon, and all the stars, weren't created from an explosion. Think about the possibilities. When does a book factory that has an explosion make more books? When does a radio factory that makes radios or a car factory that makes cars come out of an explosion with all of these beautiful new cars that no one could ever imagine before? And yet we are sold this bill of goods that somehow some big primordial explosion has created all of these stars and one sun that can burn 12 million pounds per second and not burn us up, never regulate, never really change in the amount of energy that it's putting forth. Now, that's power beyond our comprehension. And I just want to spend just a few more seconds on this, because we all know this. We know that the sun is energizing. It is creating heat. It is creating light. It is creating energy. We are told that if you were to take 15 by 15 feet of solar panels and put them on the roof of your home, it could power your home. Just that little amount of light that is striking a 225 square foot area could power your home. All the electrical needs that you have could come just from that tiny little bit of the sun. And yet the sun is all over the earth. And what is it doing all over the earth? Well, it's powering some people's solar watches. It's powering some people's phone charges. More importantly, through photosynthesis, it is powering all of the plants. They are taking that energy. Now, thinking about this helps me understand how David could stand before Goliath. If my God can do all of that, he can certainly make a rock hit someone in the forehead and knock them out. Or, like Joshua and Caleb said, he can certainly destroy those 12 nations in Canaan. I'm sorry, seven nations in Canaan. So, as the sun bathes the earth with energy, God teaches us that the material creation bathes our soul with faith. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Now, many of us don't make that secondary application. We don't see God's everlasting power and divinity as we look at the things that are made. A lot of times we get up in the morning and we're focused on one thing, getting ready for work. And all the beautiful things out there, maybe the beautiful sunrise, maybe the flowers in your yard, you're just not aware. We're not taking that extra moment that could bolster our faith through the rest of the day. Just taking a little bit of time to praise and adore and honor God and to understand the power that went in to creating the material creation, manifesting His everlasting power and divine nature. Now, the world is without excuse. So what excuse can we give if we are not energized by this? If we don't have boldness, if we don't have confidence, if we don't have the confidence of David or the confidence of Paul to just put our hands in our lives in the hands of God and accept that whatever comes, God will give us the power to deal with it. We're not afraid. You will keep him in perfect peace whose heart is stayed on you because he trusts you. But you know something? If we're not thinking about God in this manner, there's a big hole. By the end of this lesson, I'm going to prove that just as faith comes by hearing the word of God, faith comes by hearing the material creation. And the two of them create a symphony. A symphony that we have in one of our songbooks, the music of the spheres. Well, what is the music of the spheres? Well, let's talk about that. Because this is very important. As we look at the sun and consider its power, it's just one tiny, minute example of all that God did. You know, I look at physics and chemistry and how they interact with each other, and it's just incredible what God has done. What God was able to think up. God just imagined trees. God just imagined and made the terrain. He imagined and made the gold, the silver, the precious stones. He imagined and made the chemistry that allows life to exist on earth. He imagined and made the sun and the orbit of the earth so that we could have seasons and times and days and night. He imagined all that. The incredible wisdom and divine nature or divinity of God. But if we don't think about these things, they can't help us. Just like if we don't read the scriptures, faith comes by hearing the word of God, but if we don't hear the word of God, one day we say, I don't have any faith. Well, I know why you don't have any faith. You didn't eat. Just like if we fast week after week after week, and finally one day somebody says, you know, I can't move anymore. I don't have any energy. And I say, well, they go to the doctor. Well, what happened? Well, I haven't eaten in 6 weeks. Well, I think we know what the problem is. The heavens declare the glory of God. You ever go out at night? Just look at the stars. I realize how little I did that one year in Malawi, because in Malawi there's nothing else to do. So you go out at night, you look at the stars, you watch the moon wax and wane, you realize how time is working, and a lot of things happen. I think when we had an agricultural basis of our culture, we were a lot closer. A lot closer in our thinking about God. But the heavens do declare the glory of God, but many people are not listening. All the people who believe in evolution, they're not listening. And God says they're without excuse. Because if you boil down how complicated the material universe actually is, you cannot lay that on an explosion, a mindless explosion. A tornado, a hurricane, a forest fire never leaves behind mansions and new cars and beautiful creations. And an explosion on the magnitude of what we call the Big Bang could not possibly explain. Now, if you want a reason not to believe it, you can certainly lean on that. But I kind of look at it like this. The Greeks had Zeus. And that was all they needed to reject God. Now we look at the Greeks and their mythology and we laugh at it. And we look at the Roman mythology of Romulus and Remus and we laugh at it. And we look at the Egyptian culture. Re, the god of the sun. And we laugh at it. And yet, what we have devised scientifically is just as humorous. And one day, in 1,000 years... people will look back on what we had in America and they'll laugh at it. Because it's totally inadequate. It's the best they can come up with, but it's totally inadequate to explain the complexities and the beauty of the material creation. And so, are we listening to their melody? Do their words permeate and fill our soul? I've been working on this now. I think I told you, I've now got 7 lessons on this, and I've been working hard to incorporate this, and I can't tell you how much more confidence I feel. And as we look at the world crumbling around us, I know my God is in control and that God can do anything and he's going to protect me. Like, I understand exactly how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego felt. They knew that God had the power to stop that fire. Now, I don't know necessarily when they said, he will deliver us from your hand. I don't know necessarily that they were thinking at that point that they weren't going to burn up in the fire. But they knew even if they did burn up in the fire, God would deliver them. And I know that, and you know that. But the question is, how far can that faith take us? As I said a moment ago, as our world looks like things could dissolve into chaos, are we afraid? Or do we just say, God knows what he's doing. It's all going to work out. If the nation's going to fall, we'll accept it. If the nation's going to continue, we'll accept it. Whatever God decrees, we know it's best. Many nations have been where we are right now. Some have survived. Some have survived, some have not. But we need to have confidence. So just as faith comes by hearing the word of God, faith comes by hearing the glory, the power in the material creation. Now, you may be wondering, how can Alan make that kind of an application? How can we say that the material creation can bolster and strengthen our faith? I think we can see it right here. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. Every time I see the sun, the moon, and the stars, I think about the fact that God created them from himself. He took his own power and he used it to create. And I can't grasp that kind of power, the kind of power that God has access to. I think electricity is amazing, but the sun is doing more than electricity every second. And where did that power come from? Out of things that don't appear. Well, am I supposed to think like that? Well, that's what faith says I'm supposed to think like. By faith, we understand. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. My conviction is that God created the heavens and the earth. What about you? Is that your conviction? Do you see in that rose that it's made out of things that are not, that do not appear? In other words, it's made not of this creation. God took things out of this creation. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. God's lived throughout eternity. This earth's been here a blink. A day is to the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. So what do we have? A month? A week? How long's the earth been here? I don't know that we can say with assurance, but however long it's been here doesn't make any difference. To God, it's just a drop in the bucket. It's just a blink. Where did God get the power? See, God thought all this up before we even existed. And God made it exactly the way we have it today, except for the curse where he had to bend it a little bit. Do we understand that by faith? If we can see that, if we could see in the power of the battery the power of God, because God created the ability to have a battery and to generate power. He created the elements that we use to utilize that power in air conditioning and radio and fan and power seats and power windows, all of that from the battery that God gave us, the physics and the chemistry to be able to create. Do we see it? If we see it, we'll be like David. Before Goliath, I'm not afraid. My God can do anything. He's the one who made this battery. He's the one who made electricity. He's the one who made the sun. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I believe that there is an entire realm of faith that we don't tap into that is supplementing the scriptures. It is revealing the everlasting power and divinity of God. I used to look in the scriptures, where do we prove there's a God? And I realized from Psalms 8 and from Romans 1 that God didn't put it in the Bible, He put it in the material creation. And so the proof that there's an existence of God is all around us. Now we can ignore it, but God says, when you stand before me in judgment, I'm going to prove to each one of you, you don't have an excuse. You made a leap of illogical conclusion to get to the truth that there is no God. As I said a moment ago, everything that shows design and purpose in the material, or excuse me, in the human realm. I think I used this illustration a few years ago. If I find a Coke bottle on the side of the road, which is hard to do anymore except for the plastic ones, but if I find that, I don't think, wow, look at the explosive power. I wonder what happened around here. There must have been an explosion. I don't think like that. You don't think like that. Everything that shows design and purpose, we know, was instituted by intelligence. That's what faith does. Just as I read the scriptures and I see the unseen wisdom and power of God in every word, even though Moses wrote some and Isaiah wrote some and Paul wrote some, I just see the wisdom of God. I just see the power of God. And those of us who believe in plenary inspiration, that word by word, tense by tense, grammar by grammar, definition by definition, the scriptures were revealed just exactly like Paul said, not in words with human wisdom, but with the divine spirit. So even the scriptures are made out of things which do not appear. And so the similarities are absolute. And so we see in the material creation things that aren't visible. Well, God is one of those things. And the things God chose to make are among those things. As I said a moment ago, you know, when you get underneath the surface, this is like looking at a tree, and the tree won't move. But you understand there's roots under the soil. That's what keeps the tree from moving. And regardless of the wind that blows, that tree's not going to move. It may snap, but most of them aren't uprooted. Once in a while, you see one uprooted. But you know it has roots if it won't move. And you know the scriptures and the material creation have roots. And when we are doing this, we're listening to the music of the spheres. Now, that song has given me, let's just put one of these songs up here. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. That's what I've been looking at over the last few months and listening to it more and more clearly, this beautiful symphony, this beautiful harmony between the material creation and the scriptures, this beautiful harmony that starts from the moment I get up in the morning and I enjoy the material things God has provided to me, and then I move to the scriptures to look at the spiritual things God has provided for me, and I see a complete union between the two. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas. You know, when you're watching television and you see all the different scenery, even in movies you watch, you see scenery. These directors like to find scenes. And my heart always soars with praise and adoration toward God when I see things like that. And that's what this man is putting here. And if you're going to sing this song in spirit and truth and make melody in your heart, we have to do these things before we come, or it's not going to happen. Now, let's look at the next passage, or next stanza in the song. This is my Father's world. The birds, their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white. And you know, you could put anything in here. Spring and fall and summer and winter. Sunrise and sunset. Mountains that are grand. They all declare our Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. What else but faith that the things that are made out of things that do not appear, and that is my conviction. What else would cause me to think that he shines in all that's fair. But he does. In the rustling grass, I can hear him pass. Now, we've all heard that. We've heard the noise in the trees. But do we make the secondary application that this is from God? Can we really say that I've opened my ears to the degree where everywhere I go and everything I see, he speaks to me? Now, that was one of my main purposes in that first lesson on electricity, is to help us understand that every time you turn on something, God made that, and you should praise God for it. Technology shouldn't be taking us away from God. Technology, because God made it all possible, should be drawing us closer and closer. Every time I open the refrigerator and I see my dominion over cold. Every time I turn on the stove and I see my dominion over heat. When I pick up my cell phone and I talk to somebody on the other side of the world, my dominion over distance and over communication. How did we learn how to do these things? Because God created us in his image and after his likeness, and because God created the heavens and the earth so we could take copper and silicone and aluminum and we could form it with these chemicals that create a battery charge and contact satellites that went up there with the with the oil that we figured out how to send a rocket up. But it's all from God. And if we see that, everything we see, everything we enjoy, he speaks everywhere. And brethren, that is the fulcrum, or the center point in the balancing scales of his everlasting power. That's our point. That's our only point of understanding the everlasting power of God. And, you know, every miracle is just the suspension of what God originally created. And it doesn't stretch your credibility at all when you realize if God could make the sun to travel around the earth, when Joshua says, God, could you stop the sun? Stop the orbit of the earth? God can do that. Now, a lot of people don't think he can, but their God is too small. Jesus walk on water? Jesus made gravity. He made water. He knows how to work with that thing, with those things. Jesus turned the water into wine. He's the one who created the plant that could create the grapes to create the wine. Certainly, he can quicken the process and just turn that water into that substance. Jesus has a mastery over these things. But like I said, if we don't walk through life with our eyes open, not only do the miracles not help us, but the things that are undergirding the miracles don't help us either. I think that was the problem with the Jews. They saw God open the Red Sea. They saw the 10 plagues. They heard God speak from the mountain. They heard, they saw the rumblings and the fire and the smoke. And it was all on deaf ears. His word couldn't help them. Because his material creation couldn't help them, they couldn't make the application. And that's why the Hebrew writer says in chapters 3 and 4, was not united by faith. If God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, and we're not thinking of anything, then what is exceedingly abundantly above nothing equal? If I'm never thinking about the exceeding power of God, in the sun, in the stars, in the seas, in the weather, in the creation, then what am I thinking when it says is exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? In other words, the more we know, the higher this goes, and the more confidence and boldness and assurance and peace and realization, God, he can do anything. The more we can see of his eternal power and divinity, the greater our understanding of how much higher that could go. And God can do all of this. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. You see how we have this perfect symphony blending together? The power and the glory, the victory and the majesty based on what? All that is in heaven and in earth is yours. That's been the theme of this lesson since we started. His everlasting power and divinity is clearly seen through the things that are made. If we don't see it, this verse has no meaning. This verse will not give us. We'll go through life reading the scriptures and never feel the power, because the power is undergirded and supplemented and founded on this material creation. And if we don't accept that, then the scriptures are simply a book developed by men because we don't see the God behind it. And so the application of hearing what the material creation is singing is the understanding that God is infinite in wisdom, in power, in majesty, far more than what we just read in the scriptures. The scriptures only give a microcosm of what God can really do, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we read in the scriptures. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we see in the material creation. That's why David could stand before Goliath. That's why Abraham didn't blink an eye. And God said, your wife's going to have a son next year when I come. And he never wavered. Why not? Because he knew God could do anything. So there's really two sources of faith. And everybody has the opportunity to look. You don't even need me for that. You get up in the morning, you can see all of it. You don't need the scriptures for that. We should be making the grateful adoration, because it all came from God. You know, we cheat God out of so much praise when we just take these things for granted. We don't even think about the fact that getting in the car and driving down the road is an amazing, amazing sign of the power of God that we've had access to, and the wonder of being created in His image and likeness so that we can create just like He did. And that's what this is all about. We cheat ourselves out of a great source of faith. Because the more we learn of His creation, the deeper this conviction. I remember when I decided, I think I was in my early 20s, I want to be an EMT, I want to help on the ambulance. And so I started taking these classes you have to take on anatomy and physiology. And the more I saw, the more amazing it became, and my faith just bubbled up and over as I was looking. I had no idea. And that's the thing about anything you look at. It's so much more complicated than you think. I can't remember now. I read an article a few years ago about the DNA code that is in the human sperm and the human egg that comes together to create me, looking just like my parents. And the code is like this much. There's this much code in that tiny little egg and that tiny little sperm that we can only see in the microscope. And that's what brings about birth. Oh yeah, that came from an explosion billions of years ago. Yeah, right. The more we learn, the deeper our conviction. The faith that comes by hearing the word of God is supplemented by the heavens declaring the glory of God, and it is supplemented by our understanding His everlasting power and divinity through the things that are made. So this is just a wonderful opportunity for us to look at things like this. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He has stretched out the heavens. Now, if we can't see this power and wisdom and all that is on earth, what does this verse mean? And how are we applying it? If we can't see it, we're blind to the fullness of His power. We're blind to the fullness of His wisdom and His understanding. Because as I said, the scriptures are only dealing with one small portion of what God can do. And yes, that's incredible. And when Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that the greatest masterpiece of God's creation is the church. But a lot of us, when we look at the church, all we think about is we have to have autonomy, and we can't use instruments, and the world looks at us and laughs and scorns. We don't see the wisdom. But when we recognize all of the other things that are showing wisdom, and then we see that, I don't know about you, but my awe and reverence for the scriptures and making the church exactly what the angels need to see, and so they see God's wisdom instead of my wisdom, and so you will never see me want to add anything to the scriptures, just like we can't add anything to anything else. But you've got to have something to compare it to, for it to exceed all that you ask or think. And so that's really the heart of this lesson. And so let's start winding down now. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. Have any awe? You ever done this? You ever go out in this at night and in awesome wonder consider all the worlds God has made, all the stars? I see the stars. You think about God? Remember that blasphemous song, it's raining, it's pouring, the old man is snoring? You know, you think about that. It's not a very good song, because it's not the old man. I hear your rolling thunder, your power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Have we ever done it? We sing it. But have we ever gone up in the mountains and just waited for the stars to come out and to think and praise and adore and ponder his power? Then the next line. When through the woods, forest glades I wander, hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. Kind of sounds like this is my Father's world, doesn't it? When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Now, what this lesson is trying to indicate for us is that there's a lot of spiritual benefits if we will start doing this. Not only are we praising God, but our faith is being strengthened. And one of these days, if what happened to Peter, you're going to be taken where you don't want to go. And all you have to do, there's two doors. All you have to do is say, I don't believe in Jesus. I'm not a Christian. I don't believe what the Bible says about homosexuality. I don't believe what the Bible says about abortion and when birth is. I just want to go along and get along. Well, go out that door. Because that's the door leading back to life. This is the door that leads to death. I'm going through that door. You're not going to see any of us making that foolish choice if we've done what this lesson is indicating and what this lesson is developing. And so, as we think about these things, is this just, Alan, what are you preaching this for? We're all doing this. We all know this. We've been doing this for years. There's nothing new here. Why are you so excited about it? I hope that's how you all feel. But if not, if maybe we need to make some changes, let's don't wait 5 years till I preach this lesson again and say, oh yeah, I was going to do that 5 years ago. Let's make some changes. Let's start trying to force God's everlasting power and divinity more into our consciousness, not only with the material things that are made, but even the things that we've made. Even something as simple as a power drill driven by a battery. Wow, God, I'm so impressed with this. You ever do that? Or we just use it and set it aside, never really make the application that God gave that power. And so as we now pick up our songbooks and get ready to sing the song of invitation, it's crucial, brethren, that we make some applications if we're going to. Because by tomorrow, I hate to say this because I know this is one of the most wonderful sermons, but you won't remember it. You're not going to remember by the end of next week. What did Alan preach on last week? I don't know. Do you remember what he preached on? I don't remember either. You ask me, what did you preach on 3 weeks ago? I don't remember. Unless it's a series, then I can tell you. It's essential that we make some mental notes today if we want to make some changes tomorrow. And this, as we sing the song of encouragement, that's always our opportunity to ponder these things. And so if you're here this morning and you need to obey the gospel, If you're here this morning and you've committed sins that you need to repent of, or if you're here this morning and you've learned something in the Scripture that you want to make a mental note of, let's do that while we together stand and sing.